All right, thank you, folks. Let's open our Bible to the last chapter of the book of Daniel. We've already got into it, but hadn't got through with it yet. And we've been teaching the book chapter by chapter and verse by verse. I taught it in college also this year. And I'm not sure, but we were doing a little talking the other day with some of them down at the college as to what next year at the college is going to bring. We rotate different subjects through the year, so the different ones that can get in on it. I don't remember where it's supposed to be on a four-year or rotation or whatever it is, but anyway, it looks like the prophecy teaching I'll do next year at college is probably going to be the book of Revelation again. Somebody said, how many times have you taught it? A bunch of them. I don't know how many, but I'll tell you this, we never used it all up. I'll tell you something else, much, much more light can be shown today on the subjects of the book of Revelation than ever before because of the times that we're in and the current news that we're hearing all the time. So with that said, you invited, if you want to sit in on the classes next year. I might charge you, I hadn't made up my mind yet, but I'm joking, we don't charge you. If you just sit in, now if you get a degree, you might have to pay for it, but some of you are not going to stick that long. Amen. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel is the book that goes hand in glove with the book of Revelation, prophecy-wise. In fact, the book of Revelation kind of takes up where Daniel basically leaves off almost, and one complements the other. It's in the book of Daniel that you'll find out a lot of details concerning the Antichrist. Now, we're not worried about watching for him to show up. We're more interested in the Lord Jesus coming, amen? But he is going to show up, and he's going to show up, I believe, if we don't know him before the rapture takes place and the saved are caught out in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, he's going to be revealed pretty soon afterwards. And in the book of Daniel, you can read some of the characteristics of the Antichrist that we're seeing world governments portraying today. The big cry of all your governments today is to have a one world government, a total international nationalism itself, such as being a patriotic American, is kind of politically incorrect today. It's not accepted like it used to be. You keep hearing little spots in the news. Just recently heard about a school system that was no longer going, a public school system in America, that was no longer going to display the American flag. Which means we've had so many international students come in, their argument was we may offend somebody. Now, my basic American patriotism really gets aggravated with that kind of stuff, you know. If you're going to come in America, then we don't have to adopt to you. You adapt yourself to us. Amen. And yet, what I just said is very politically incorrect now. Very, very wrong now to say such a thing as that. And in certain places, you can get punished for that sort of stuff. So the prediction of putting a one world government together, and the Antichrist will head up for a little bit. You see a lot of that already in the book of Daniel as it identifies him. For instance, he'll be a great orator. He'll sway a lot of people. He'll deceive a lot of people. And today, that's about all you hear anymore is political garbage. Just rhetoric that they can't even begin to back up. Phyllis Schlafly, some of you know who that is. Phyllis Schlafly puts out a little paper. She gets information, and I used to get it. I must have not paid my dues because I hadn't got it in a long time. But once in a while, one of y'all will hand it to me here in the congregation, and I glanced at it this last week, and she was pointing out something I already knew, but we have 5 million plus illegal aliens in America that we got more than that, but 5 million that are getting driver's license, social security cards, and therefore they can vote. Not only are they getting that, once they get the social security card and the driver's license, then they can turn around and apply retroactively for welfare funds that for 3 years. Now that's a substantial check for 3 years when they can pick it up. So why wouldn't you want to cross the border illegally when you'll be enticed like that? Come in, pick up the big check. Come in and be able to vote so the one that gave you the big check keeps giving you the big check.
Right.
That's called, a nice word for it is socialism.
Right.
Thievery and treachery is the real words that ought to be applied.
Right.
But it is an amazing time that we've moved to now. But it doesn't surprise God. He already wrote about it in the Bible. I can show it to you. I've shown it to you before. But if you wanted to look back in chapter 11, now we're going to start in chapter 12 this morning again. But in chapter 11, it's talking about this Antichrist. And it tells us here, verse 24, he will enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the providence. He shall do that which his fathers have not done, verse 24, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. Now, I want you to notice what he's going to do. He's going to scatter the spoil and the riches. That's socialism. And do what is, we communism was some degree of it, but not to the degree that we're seeing today. You see, America, in the eyes of the world, is a rich golden duck that needs to be plucked. And we're bringing down now. See, we've had the most affluent middle-class citizenship of any nation. And now what we're going to see coming is you're going to have the elite like you've had in communist countries. Then you're going to have the poverty in the middle, the peasants, and the very, very poor. And so when you take from the rich and give to the poor, but you keep the majority of it yourself, you wipe out the middle class. And that's exactly politically, that's what's happening. Socialism, entitlements, freebies. But it's hard to vote against Robin Hood and Santa Claus. And that's what the dictator, the Antichrist, will pretend to be. And he'll fool a lot of people with it. Now, Daniel gives that description and several other descriptions of him. He will honor the God of forces, the scripture tells us in verse 37 and verse 11. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. He shall magnify himself above all, verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Now I want you to look in your Bible. You got a capital G here. Here's a case, though, in your Bible where the capital G God is not the Lord God Jehovah, the God of forces. Satan is called the God of the world in the Bible. And here you've got a satanic God, a substitute God, and the God of forces. Now that's the natural power of, think about forces, you think about military, you think about weapons and so forth. I personally think also that it's going to go a little above that. You know, there's a lot of stuff on TV, a lot of theory, and a lot of flying saucer, UFO type stuff. They believe they work probably magnetically off the magnetic field of the world. Satan one day is going to have enough power, he's going to call fire down from heaven, the Bible tells us. He's going to fool a lot of people with it. And just something you can't explain that seems to be supernatural is not always of God. Sometimes it's of the devil. You got to be careful with that. This fellow's going to come in honoring the God of forces. We've already programmed our kids to accept that with such things as Star Wars and all the stuff that they've seen on TV and other places. They have this is going to fit right in. Older guys like me, we were raised in watching cowboys ride real horses, not computer horses. We watched them, even though the fights were play-like fights, they got pretty rough compared to what you have simulated today. And so all that stuff, It was faked. It was B-grade cowboy movies, but the good guys always won. You know, then they started the stupid adult westerns where the good guy got killed. But anyway, in the old days, you knew your hero was going to win in the end. Amen? And if he's a real hero, he'd ride off, tip his hat, and hardly ever kiss the girl. But anyway, compare that to what the kids are raised on now. Boy, what they're raised on now. It is amazing. And that's preparing for the philosophy that's going to dominate and is dominating right now in the last days, the brainwashing that's going on. Daniel gave us a great description of the Antichrist. And several places. He's going to put his palace, his throne over there, it says in the last verse of chapter 11. He's going to plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. You see, the holy mountain is Zion. That's where Jerusalem is. And that's where Satan tries to take over from God. Now, there's a wonderful story, study. And if you'll study the story of Mount Zion through your Bible, Mount Zion is the place that Jacob spent his first night away from home when he left running from Esau, remember? When he pillowed his head on the rocks, and that night he saw the ladder of God with the angels coming up and down on it. Well, that's the very place where the altar later was, where the Shekinah glory of God fell, looked up the sacrifice and so forth. And that's where God built the temple, and there'll be another temple built there. Interesting place right now. Islam is fighting big time to keep the Jews off that hill right now. And some folks want to call it the Third World War. It's about to get started, and the biggest thing over it right now is the Jew and the temple and the Muslims that's got their Dome of the Rock over there where they fudged in years ago and built it and so forth. Anyway, with all that said, it's amazing how the Bible tells us about it ahead of time, and as you watch the news, you see it fulfilling, falling in place pretty rapidly, really. So anyway, we move into chapter 12, and at that time it says Michael shall stand up. Now, we identified Michael, the archangel, as being the one that represents Israel. In verse 1, reviewing now, Daniel is told that there's a time of trouble coming on his people. We know that as the tribulation period. We studied the length of it back in chapter 9 under the 70 weeks of prophecy given to the people of God at that time, the Jews, Daniel's people. And we now are living in a period of time that we call a gap age or the grace age or the church age. And blindness in part has come to Israel, Paul says in Romans 11, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You and I are part of the times of the Gentiles that's going to be fulfilled. Then this time of trouble of verse 1 is going to break out. Time of trouble for Israel. And it's going to be a tremendous slaughter under the Antichrist and the forces against Israel trying to destroy them. That's happening today. But Israel is a secular nation now. There's some Orthodox Jews and believe in God, but there's a whole pile of secular government over there, and even the Zionist movement itself, very secular. But the time's coming at the end of that tribulation period where the time of recognizing Jesus is going to take place. And they are going to recognize him as the Messiah. We read about it in several of the prophetical books. Book of Zechariah, for instance, when he comes back and they look at the wounds in his hands and feet and side. And he tells them he was wounded in the house of their friends. Now let's move on down to try to catch up where I left off. Great soul-winning verse in Daniel, verse 3. Says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. It will pay to serve God. It will pay to be a witness and a soul winner in that day. And then Daniel is given some instructions here. I'm sure he didn't want to hear them. But just like us, he had his curiosity up. He wanted to know more. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end. How long is it going to be sealed? Well, to the time of the end. Many, during that time, before the time of the end gets here, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This is one of the great prophetic verses in the Word of God, and one of the great prophecies that you can observe today, having not only having been fulfilled, is being fulfilled daily. That is the increase of knowledge. I have purposely not tried to learn, I don't think I could have anyway, but not tried to learn so much about the computers themselves. When they first come out, I said they're going to be the tool of the Antichrist, and I still believe that. In fact, all the hacking that's going into them today, all the identity stealing that's going on today, do you understand that that's why when the mark of the beast comes in Revelation 13 and everybody is given a number, it won't even be a bump in the road. Everybody will just accept it because it's going to be for security's sake. It's going to be to keep your bank account from being hacked into. It'll just fall right in place. It's almost here right now. I mean, when China can hack into the American government and get all the information on all the federal employees, there's going to have to be something done about that. So the time's going to come that you have to have a number. You already got it in a sense, but it's going to finally be down to where it's going to come in with being the only way you'd be protected. And of course, it's going to have to be secret. Now, I've seen the tracks and the cartoons of somebody walking around with a big readable number on their head. That's not true. Somebody could easily hack that, couldn't they? That's not going to be the way it works. It will be a mark and a number because the Bible says so, but it's not. You're not going to wear it like a tag on your car where anybody can get it. It's going to be secret. Theoretically, they're doing it now with pets. They're putting chips on the skin. Now, you can't see the chip, but that number's there. So that means that Fido can find his way home if he gets lost or whatever. But human beings, there are a lot of them already right now on practice runs in America, already had chips put in and all of that. It's a forerunner. It will finally be refined down to where it'll be sold to the public as being the security that you got to have. Anyway, we can see those kind of things coming. Now, knowledge be increased. It's so amazing that it feeds off of itself. If you just back up the calendar 5 years and see where it has advanced from 5 years ago. Now back it up 20 years or 30 years and look what has happened. And yet it is increasing faster, they say now, than ever before. I remember when to put a phone in your car took a big box in your trunk, and it didn't work too good. It was nothing more than a glorified shortwave radio, I reckon. But that thing was out of date before they got them hardly installed. And then the first cell phones were fair size, and that didn't last very long. And then who in the world could imagine what you got now? The texting and the pictures, the camera stuff. Now mine don't. I'm still stuck back there hoping mine will receive and make a call. That's all I want to do. Say, couldn't you get another one? Yeah, the church helped staff get some phones. They call them smartphones, I think. I didn't want one smarter than me, so I kept my old one. Amen. But anyway, look where they're at now, and I can't imagine it. I start talking to somebody and I ask a question. Next thing I know, they got their cell phone out and they're doing research right off that cell phone. Now, truthfully, I kind of envy that because they're shortcutting and getting the information that I'm having to labor for. I kind of envy that. But at the same time, folks, we are fulfilling this verse like unbelievable how this thing is going on. And God said this, that many would run to and fro. Knowledge would be increased. Now, you go get on that jet plane and fly anywhere in the world, running to and fro. It is amazing. Not only that, they're running to and fro out here on the highway. Some of them aren't running fast enough for me. It's got in my way. But truth of the matter is, it's just crowded everywhere you look. And this verse, now think about how old this Bible is we're talking about. We're talking about verses written 500 years before Jesus was born. So 2,600 years ago, this verse I'm talking to you about was written. Now, for all those years, they didn't have cell phones. Kids can't believe that. Didn't have airplanes, didn't have automobiles, didn't have computers for all those years. And now all of a sudden, in the last 100 years, and in fact, even less than that, you look at a 100-year-old car right now, compared. And so look what has happened and how quickly it's happened. Yes, we are in the end times. We are on the last days. And this verse is such a picture of it. And it ought to stir us and make us wise to know the Lord's coming back and what he said is being fulfilled. But the truth is, we take it for granted, especially the younger folks do, because they grew up with it. I was talking with somebody this morning about being hot at camp and air conditioning and all, but then some of us lived when there was no air condition. I remember. I know that's dangerous when I say that to you folks. When I say I remember, say, uh-oh, here he goes again. I remember the first air-conditioned store in Haines City. It's located right where the new City Hall is now. It was a dry goods clothing store, biggest one in town. And the word got around that they'd air-conditioned that store. Now, we kids didn't know what that meant, but we went up and found out it felt good. So guess what? After school, we'd make a trip by there and pretend to be shopping. And they caught on to that pretty quick. And they run us out. But first air-conditioned store that I ever walked in was right here in Haines City, up there on that corner where the City Hall is now. Look what's happened since then. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Air conditioning in a car? Who could have imagined such a thing? You know, at that time, my car was air conditioned. If you got up to 90 and opened the windows, it didn't do too bad. But that was it. Amen. So we're talking about a verse here that we've lived through, are living in right now. Told you the Bible had to be written by somebody that knew what was going to happen in the future, and that's God, of course. And so, Book of Daniel, Book of Prophecy, and how it's been fulfilled, how it is being fulfilled. Many run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, they buy and sell knowledge today like it was a sack of oranges or something. Just it's a tangible thing. It amazes me how it works. They talk about, millibytes or something. I don't know how they go about it. But here's the thing. God knew man was going to get smarter. He knew he was going to be able to do these things. I believe I could get you to think on that if you were to go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11. That's your first book, and you find man, he made the image of God, and even though he took the wrong turn, and he's a shadow of his old self because of the curse of sin, still he retained knowledge enough. And even though they say that even a genius is only using 5% of the brain cells that God gave us, if you go back to the book of Genesis, this is after the flood now in chapter 11. God's told them to scatter abroad. They disobeyed him. They're repopulating the earth, starting with Noah's family, repopulating the earth. And you come into Genesis chapter 11, and guess what they're doing? They're building them a tower now. They're staying together. And we know it as the Tower of Babel. Look at it in verse 6 of Genesis 11. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Now look how we're trying to duplicate this again. We're trying to put in the one world government again. One. You know, God separates the language here. It says, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. Do you know, for many thousands of years, being of different language kept people separated. Some of you aren't going to like this too much, but that was God's plan. He separated the languages to separate the people. And quite frankly, the more people get together, the more evil they become. A gang is more dangerous generally than one. And we look around today and see, as they're trying to all become one again, the world's in the worst mess it's ever been in, morally, and evil running rampant. Where's most of your crime take place? Does it take place with the country boys on the dairy farm? No, sir. It takes place with the gangs that gather in the city. And the bigger the city, the worse the crime. That's the depravity of man. That's the way it works. So here at the Tower of Babel, they all get together. God told them to scatter. They all get together. So God looks down at them and he says here, nothing will be restrained from them. Now, what is God saying? He's saying they're smart. They're going to get smarter. They're going to do wrong with it. And he gives them credit. He even said, goes so far, he says, nothing will be restrained from them, which they have, what's the next word? Imagined to do. Now, you got all kind of books today telling you that if you think, like Think and Grow Rich, or books that'll tell you that you can, if you can imagine it, you can do it. And what are we looking at when we look at computers and videos and TV? And what are we looking at? We're looking at man's imagination being portrayed. And some of it is really crude and strange. But the devil is in the business of trying to help man carry out his imagination. Why? If you went back to Genesis chapter 6, you'd find the word again. And it would be why God brought the flood. It said the imagination of man was only evil from his youth up. The earth was corrupted, and God had to bring the flood to flood it out. So here we are today. Never been a generation like ours now far as being able to carry out our imaginations. I mean, the computer age has helped man to imagine things and do things and reveal things. And of course, the devil's getting the joy out of it because he's got it going toward evil. Sad truth is, so much of the crime today now has become crime over the internet, crime with computers. Nowadays, down and out or sleeping on the bridge, he might steal a free ride on the train, but give him a big education and a white shirt and put him up in on Wall Street, and he'll steal a company. Why? Because his heart's just as bad as the guy that stole a ride on the train. He's still just as depraved and just as lost. But he's got more know-how now to make a bigger ripoff than he could before. That's sad commentary on man's nature, but that's the truth. Bible teaches all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Teaches man is depraved, and proves out. So here in this verse 4, we can wrap a lot of history in this, a lot of modern times now. And it's not through. It's not through yet. The fellow that wrote Orwell's 1984, his predictions was that by 1984, there'd be a one-world government spying on us with cameras, knowing what we did all the time, that there would be thought police not only caring what you said, but what you thought. Orwell's 1984. He wrote it in 1948. Reverse 48 to 84. And look how much time now has passed from 84 to where we're at now. See? And what, 31 years, something like that. And now, for a long time, what he's saying is true. We're almost getting to the place that we want to be on camera for security reasons. Isn't that true? Had the police stop by here just recently at the church office. Some little something had happened here on one of the streets. They stopped by and came in the office. I was not there, but they came in and asked the secretary, can we get a copy of film off your security camera over here close to the village, that street? Now he stopped in thinking for sure we had that. Perhaps we should have. See the way the thinking goes? Everybody's got them. How come you don't have one? Don't that bother you just a little bit, folks, that now somebody's watching you all the time? That's what Orwell said it would be by 1984. He said, and this is already happening, it may be happening to us very much without us knowing it, your TV's watching you. Yeah. In Orwell's book, when he would go home to his little apartment, by the way, when I was in Russia, I thought about this a lot, because they assign a kid, he gets out of high school, they look at it how he did in school, they assign him to take certain things in college, and then if he does well enough in college, he can get this job or that job, they assign the jobs. In other words, you're programmed all the way. And America's not far from that stuff right now. But in Orwell's 1984, it tells about him being in his little apartment, and he's trying to hide around the corner to stay out of view of the camera, or at least not be in full view of the camera. He considers it a victory, because deep inside of him there's a desire for freedom, and he's trying to kind of hide, twist around and hide from the camera, because Big Brother is watching all the time. We're not far from that. Not very far from that. And I would not be surprised to see coming soon to a place near you, maybe your church or somewhere else, where the law says you have to have a camera. Also had the had another time where a law enforcement officer asked us if we had cameras on our buses. Now we don't. We're lucky if we got wheels on our buses. Much less cameras. But anyway, why would they ask that? Because the buses that are bought with tax-paid money now, public school buses, they have cameras. And the attitude with government anymore is money is not the question. You just ought to have these things. No matter whether you can afford them or not. That's got nothing to do with it. And of course, my answer was, we're lucky to afford a bus, much less one with a camera on it. Now, when they start throwing those buses away that's got the cameras on them, that's where we get ours from anyway. We get our buses from those they've already used a couple of years and thrown aside. And we buy them generally at a county auction. And they've got to where they throw them away pretty fast nowadays. So we may wind up with one with a camera on it. Who knows? But all joking aside, we've moved to that age. All of that's in the verse right here that we're talking about. Isn't it amazing how God can say it in so few words? And it just takes thousands of words to talk about it and explain it in its fulfillment. And that's what you have right here in this verse. Running to and fro, knowledge increase. Well, when you use the word increase, it's kind of got the bottom kicked out of it. It can just keep going. There's no end to it. Increase, increase, increase. It just keeps growing. And the thing is growing much beyond what I have knowledge to talk about it. And the credibility gap, we keep finding out with our government, there is a credibility gap, big credibility gap. That the public, we're supposed to be a government of the people, for the people, by the people, all. No. They don't let the people know, right, like they used to even. And much of it is hidden. And much of it we find out because somebody squeals here or there or something like that. But it is amazing time that fulfills this verse. And it's too bad that it's not used for good. We could use some of these tools. Computers can be used for good. We could use it to help get the gospel around the world, and we are doing that to a great degree. Even from our church right here, our message reaches around the world because of this knowledge increased and this technological advancement that's been made. And every now and then we get a letter or we get a phone call from